The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two on a Thursday. How's a Thursday already? My goodness gracious. And practice is starting. Dan, give me a list over the weekend of all ACC and SEC programs when the first practice is, if you would. I mean, there may actually be some starting before them.
Well, I got to believe there's got to be some starting already now because of week zero. UCLA, Hawaii in them.
Yes, UCLA. I think UConn returns to the field. Fresno's got a game that week. You're right about us. UCLA and Hawaii, and then UCLA, I think, do they have LSU the very next week?
They do. Labor Day weekend, September the 4th.
My goodness, that's going to be bad. You know what, actually? That is an opportunity for UCLA and Chip Kelly. It's a landmine for Ed Orgeron and LSU. I mean, you've got to go on the road still, though. It's still out there. And try to win a ball game against a Power 5 opponent that does have talent. And if I remember, this was probably about a month ago, Dave Bartu talking about UCLA's recruiting ranking, that it actually has gone up and that there is more talent right now, that he believes the problem is actually Chip, which blows my mind to no end.
Well, it's also, too, like you said, it being a landmine, is if you thought that Mississippi State and Missouri was bad last year, this would be white hot under Ed Orgeron. If he goes out there and loses to a team who, this just in, has not done very well in non-conference games of this ilk.
Yeah, that's just about the last thing he wants. Because I think the LSU fan base is still of a mind, give me a reason to still love you. You get with coaches sometimes, just give me a reason. And you know what you're, give me a reason to fire you. I think with Coach O, I think it's still, give me a reason to love you still, isn't it?
Well, the love is still there. I don't think that's left, especially too, coming off of a year and a half ago, you were just holding up the CFP national title trophy. So there's still that. But I think that there is, though, too, as well, that there's always a reason to look for blame, because it's never our fault. It's always their fault. They don't know what they're doing. So I would say that if that happens and there is a disappointing 2021, then it is a, well, it's been nice, but maybe we need a coach. Some people might say that.
All right. We got guests coming up, and it's going to be awesome. But right now, we got headlines.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365.
Headline, Texas A&M board directs president to approve SEC expansion. Texas A&M Board of Regents voted 8-1 yesterday to direct president Catherine Banks. I'm sorry, M. Catherine. Nobody poor has an initial first. In fact, I'm going to bet you, if you went back in time, like, go find her senior yearbook. She was either Catherine Banks or, like, Mary Banks. After you achieve some status, suddenly you have a first initial. M. Catherine Banks, she has been directed to vote in favor of inviting OU and Texas to join the SEC. Now, the Texas A&M board also released a statement. And, of course, they had to strenuously object to how it was done. Quote, although the board has concerns about the communication process relating to this matter, basically, we were kind of left in the dark here, and we don't like it, and that's not how we would operate. I don't know if that's how they'd operate or not, but today we received additional information, et cetera, so yeah, vote on it, and we would like to get the money. So that is absolutely going to happen. We have some more ideas about Bryce Young and his name, image, likeness. Headline, Tide quarterback Young has already signed more than $800,000 in name, image, likeness endorsements. That according to ESPN. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young, who you have to say, he hadn't even started a game yet. Alabama quarterback Bryce Young has already signed deals using his name, image, likeness worth more than $800,000, according to sources. However, he has been presented with deals worth in excess of $1 million, but has not signed those yet. Last week, Nick Saban told a group of Texas high school coaches. It wasn't a bunch of coaches in Connecticut. It was in Texas, where he just got Jalen Milroe, where if you want a quarterback, it's Southern California, Texas. Yeah, Southern California, specifically Dallas. And he says, oh, yeah, the quarterback at my program, $1 million. Hey, but I don't want to say anything to him. I don't want to talk about it. Nick Saban has never had a stray word come out of his mouth, not as long as I've known who he was. And I think he goes back to, like, the Oilers. Yeah, he coached with the Oilers. Yeah, way back in the
Landville.
Day.
Yeah,
that's when he cut his teeth in the secondary, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so going back when he was with the Oilers, he's never let a stray word out of his mouth. He said it, and he said it how he did, on purpose and with intent, and so what? His job is to win games at Alabama, and by saying what he did, it made it a little more likely, or a lot more likely, according to David Shaw, that he gets the next five-star quarterback coming out of Texas. Whatever. So David Shaw didn't like that. It's obvious to me Nick wanted to plant this and make sure people knew. It's a great way to recruit people to come to you. Well, yeah. All right, the sources further say that Bryce Young's deal with Cash App, his only public endorsement, were six figures. He's already filmed a commercial. All right, this is what I want to help people with here, and I'm about to get to the next one too. The bulk of Bryce Young's other deals are in the memorabilia and trading card space. All right, I'm going to continue to the next story. Headline, quarterbacks King, Corral, Mertz signed name, image, likeness deal with trading card company. This is Panini, which is a really good company. If you remember Donruss back in the day, that was a Dallas company. Well, this is kind of the same thing, sort of. It's a, sort of the same company, but it's in Dallas, and Panini makes unbelievable products. I mean, really high quality. Just gore. And I don't even like modern cards. And I look at Panini's, and I'm like, the Prisms? I was like, those are great. Don't buy any of these cards. The reason I'm saying that is to not... I don't want Derek King to have any money in his pocket. No, no, no. I'm telling you from the collectible standpoint... No, let me take the... If you're an Ole Miss fan and Panini produces some Matt Corral cards, for instance, all right, get you a Matt Corral card if you want to. If you are thinking of this in any terms as investment or future value or anything other than I'm paying $10 or $100 or $1,000 for this, if you're thinking that you will ever sell that to another person, don't buy these cards. The only cards you ever want of a football player are when he's in his NFL uniform. There are Trevor Lawrence cards already right now. They just couldn't put the logo on the side, the Clemson logo and all that. You don't want them. So good for them to sign the deal. If you see these trading cards and you're thinking from an investment standpoint, if you're a Bryce Young fan, all right, go get you some cards. But if you're thinking from investments, do not get them. Consider yourself up to date. Yeah, so I just want to give a little bit of the collectibles information. But it's the same thing with Kyle Pitts, and I've been transparent about this, folks. I have always played the it's a little more expensive to do it this way, but I wait till the guy pops. When Trae Young and Luka Doncic were drafted, there's a lot of speculation on their cards, as well as DeAndre Ayton and a bunch of other. I'd let it sort of play out for a couple of years, then I got in. And I always do that because sometimes you think, oh, this guy's, he's going to hit it. And then either it gets injured or you realize he can't play. You know, if you got in on Baker Mayfield, maybe. If you got in on Lamar Jackson, good for you. If you got in on Sam Darnold, oh. So I always give it two or three seasons and then I jump in. I ain't doing that with Kyle Pitts. That guy is a unicorn. And I don't mean just like, he is unbelievable. And I haven't bought a single Kyle Pitts card yet. Even though there's hundreds of them out there. You know why? Because every one of them, he's in his Florida uniform. And college uniform cards do not increase in value anywhere in the same realm. Anywhere with shouting distance. So don't buy any of these cards.
you got to wait. You got to be a little patient. I wanted to get Kyle Pitts cards at the end of February. Excuse me, end of April going into May. I have been patient a little bit. So you have to wait until probably the middle of September is when you'll get the first Prism cards with Kyle Pitts. It's the same thing with these kids. You're just going to have to wait a little bit.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash in the shower, which gently cleanses and doesn't dry out your skin. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I almost hyperventilated a couple of afternoons ago. I was talking to somebody about college football, realignment, expansion, call it what you want to, and I'd mentioned the Southwest Conference, and I was like, you don't understand. I watched the Southwest Conference dissolve. Oh, what was the Southwest Conference? I was like, it was national champions. It was Heisman Trophy winners, College Football Hall of Fame. We got the veer out of the old Southwest Conference, for gosh sakes. So the Southwest, it was as just, I mean, down, dirty, tough. It was the SEC, but just a little further west. And then it probationed itself into non-existence. There was a guy named Hartley Dykes, a wide receiver who wound up at Oklahoma. 4 programs went on probation because of Hartley Dykes. 4. Because of 1 wide receiver who wound up at Oak State. So if you don't think that the Big 12 could just poof, disappear into nothing, money's going to drive whatever happens. And right now, the 2 biggest producers for that conference just said, yeah, we're looking for a new neighborhood. Want to welcome on right now a guy who does a great job covering the entire Big 12. Out of 105.3, the Fan in Dallas, it is Ari Temkin. Ari, how are you today?
Chuck, I'm great, buddy. How are you?
Doing okay. Do I overspeak about the pending demise of the Big 12? I mean, that really is one of the 2 most likely scenarios, in my opinion, that they just disappear. Rate that possibility in your own mind.
Well, certainly it's more likely than the SEC disappearing at this point in time. That's fair. But, no, I mean, I think the premise is very well stated. You know, I mean, you look at the structure of conferences today and, you know, many of these conferences didn't exist 20, 30 years ago, right? So here today, gone tomorrow. The driving force behind this is obviously television revenue, and it's bigger now than it's ever been. And, you know, look, I think that there are 3 conferences right now that are in trouble. The Big 12 is certainly in the most trouble because they're losing their 2 most important breadwinners, but that doesn't diminish the, you know, the ACC and the Pac-12 are also in a bad spot. I mean, the Big 12 was 3rd in revenue of the Power 5. The Pac-12 is 5th. You know, ACC's locked into a deal until 2036. If I'm Clemson and I'm on the level of all these SEC programs and I'm winning national championships up there with Alabama, I don't like the idea over the next 15, 20 years that the SEC is going to make twice as much money than I am from their television deal. Mississippi State is going to make twice as much money as Clemson in its television deal over the next decade plus. So, you know, the ACC, I think, needs to move. I think the Pac-12 needs to move. I think that there is definitely a major difference and distinction now between the haves and the have-nots, even amongst the Power 5, Chuck.
I have to agree with you on that. Again, talking with Ari Temkin, 105.3 The Fan, also host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, talking Big 12 in general here. Again, your opinion. What's happening with more velocity right now? Big 12 office trying to add new members or current members trying to find a new home?
You know, it's crazy to think that I don't even know that Bob Bowlesby has any idea what the future looks like. I don't know that George Klyavkov, the Pac-12 commissioner, has any idea what the landscape's going to look like. I don't know that Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, you know, so it's like, I think if anybody tells you they know what's going to happen, they're lying, because none of the actors even know what's going to happen. I would think, you know, you've got to kind of, if you're Bob Bowlesby to the Big 12 offices, you got to put all your ducks in a row. And so you have to be, obviously, continually recruiting your own members, and that's, you know, that is definitely what, you know, last night's actions were. I also think last night's actions, the cease and desist for ESPN, were the potential of trying to find if there's any evidence that links ESPN to this SEC deal. I think that's a big picture thing away from that. And look, I mean, I went to the University of Kansas. You know, I work with Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM, as you mentioned. So I'm very much a stakeholder in the success of this deal for the Big 12. But, you know, if I'm at the University of Kansas, I'm listening to what the Big 12 and Tom Bowlesby has to say. But, you know, if the pitch here is, hey, we're going to be aggressive, we're going to go after Cincinnati and, you know, and UCF and USF, and I'm out. I don't, you know, I know what the reality of the revenue structure looks like. And if I'm Kansas or I'm Oklahoma State and I think I've got more options, I'm going to take those options. If I'm Kansas and they come back and say, you know, we're going to go after, make a big push for a Pac-12 program or Pac-12 programs. I mean, they were skewing the shares of revenue so much so for Oklahoma and Texas. Why couldn't they make an offer to Oregon like that, right? I mean, that's kind of what I've been trumpeting. I don't know that there's any likelihood of that happening, but they can offer well beyond what the Pac-12's current TV structure looks like, and perhaps even what their new deal will look like when it's renegotiated. So I'm swinging for the fences here if I'm Bob Bowlesby, and that's how I'm getting my current members to stay on board.
A couple more minutes again, Ari Temkin. Get him on Twitter at Ari, A-R-I, Ari Sports. Again, Sirius XM, 105.3 Fan in Dallas. I have said that there is another scenario possible, because you got to consider everything at this point. What about a team, like program like Texas Tech, saying, you know what, we're going to preempt all of this. We'll go to Conference USA or AAC ourselves, try to roll through that every year and get the 12th playoff seed when it expands. I mean, you have to be creative and consider how you can best position your own program at this point. And I think everything's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, look, I definitely think that there is legitimate Power 5 interest in some of the Big 12 remaining schools. You know, there's this prevailing narrative of, you know, well, Notre Dame's the big fish that's out there. So if you're not going to get Notre Dame, you know, there's nobody that's going to really raise your profile from a revenue standpoint. I just disagree with that sentiment. Like, there's a spectrum there. You know, I mean, Notre Dame's certainly, you know, on one end of the spectrum. But, you know, there are valuable commodities in the Big 12. If the Big 12 was so far skewed for Oklahoma and Texas, which it was, like, there's a percentage of value associated in every other school. It's not just a bunch of mono feeders, you know, and Oklahoma and Texas. So, look, I mean, the economic realities of the American Athletic Conference, which is why I found, you know, the American going after the Big 12 so hilarious. I mean, the Big 12 handed out 30 to 40 million in television revenue to its partners last year. Okay, the AAC handed out single-digit millions. So, you know, nobody's going to preempt, I would think, in the Big 12 when it comes to an economic downturn to that degree.
Yep.
Now, we know that that money is not going to be there in the future with Oklahoma and Texas leaving, but that's just, I would say that the eight, if without any movement, are still more valuable than the American Athletic Conference.
Oh, I agree with you on that, absolutely. We got to run, brother. I appreciate the insight, the view from above of the Big 12 right now. Thanks for coming on, man.
My pleasure, Chuck. Be well, brother.
All right, you too. Ari Temkin again, 105.3 in Dallas, just Big 12 expert. And when the dissolution comes, there's going to be programs looking around, got no chair. Because, you know, TCU right now, how attractive are they? Well, you get Fort Worth. TCU doesn't get Fort Worth, much less another conference getting Fort Worth. I don't think I'm overstating that. We get Southern Methodist, you get Dallas. SMU doesn't get Dallas. The Cowboys get that. Like, if you can get the Dallas Cowboys into the ACC, okay, now we're talking. I don't think Jerry's going to want to wind up splitting his revenue.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It is July 29th, which means if you're a college football fan, you will drill down to the nth degree of importance about anything your head coach says about any player. Well, no, wait a minute. He mentioned this kid. Yeah, he said that he's enrolled now. That's all he said. Well, no, wait a minute. He's moving up the depth chart? No, he said that, yes, he was the last player, and now he's enrolled. It doesn't matter who you are or whatever. You just want any sort of tidbit about your team, and if the head coach says it, well, it means something. Ed Orgeron speaking to the Baton Rouge Rotary Club, and, boy, he couldn't get enough of his tight ends. And they've had, I mean, they've run talent through that position at LSU. And so he started with a tight end. So I figure with our next guest from 24/7 Sports, Sonny Shipp, I figure I'll start with the tight ends too. Sonny, how you doing today, man?
Good, man. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right. You care if I start with tight ends? Because Ed Orgeron wanted to talk a lot about them.
Man, LSU, I'll tell you what, it's been an eventful 12 months for with LSU on the tight end front, hadn't it?
Yeah, it really has. They lost, you know, Randy Moss's kid goes to the NFL, and that was going to be exciting. And I was like, yeah, he's going to be a ball player.
Yeah.
But then it was a football recruit, a walk-on, and a pitcher, I believe, from the baseball team. Let's break down what it is now. Cole Taylor, again, 6'6", 250 pounds, looks like a bouncer. What kind of tight end do you think he may make?
Yeah, and he was a guy that in high school out in Colorado, they flexed him out a lot to where he played on the outside, kind of like LSU used Thaddeus Moss a lot. And, like, you know, like basically you're using another wide receiver. And they would throw it out there to him and let him use his height and his athleticism to his advantage. Granted, he was about 220 pounds at the time, but they say he's up to 250, 255. And he looked about like that when I saw him in June, you know, during the camp circuits and everything. So he looks like he's kind of growing into that type of tight end that, you know, that the LSU roster that they kind of wanted to do with Eric Gilbert last year, but that they really didn't have, that they might be kind of getting that with Cole Taylor now. And that would be a nice compliment when you get the number one tight end in the country for this 2022 class coming in, and Jake Johnson, who's right there in y'all's backyard.
There's a kid who's on campus now who was part of the 21 class, and I believe you pronounce his name Besh. Is it Jack Besh, kid out of Lafayette?
Is
he a wide receiver or a tight end? Because he led the state in receiving the past 2 years, but now he's being talked about as a tight end, and he's only about 215, 220. He's had to have added weight.
Yeah, he played wide receiver at St. Thomas More, but he's one of those guys that, you know, we've kind of talked about. I've kind of mentioned tight end on our message board a lot, and people kind of blew me off a little bit and stuff. But, you know, he's a kid who's 215 pounds coming out of high school, loves working out. He's thick. He loves blocking as a wide receiver. And he just seemed like that kind of tight end mismatch that LSU was really looking for. Obviously, when Eric Gilbert didn't come back, that kind of, you know, that kind of made – sliding him over to tight end, a situation that I expected to happen maybe next year or the year after that, but it looks like it's going to have to go ahead and happen now. And I tell you what, for those guys who do the, you know, guys and gals who do the SEC fantasy football teams and stuff like that, if you're looking for a sleeper prospect who could catch a lot of passes in 2021, Jack Besh could be your guy for LSU.
Continuing with Sonny Shipp from 247. I don't know if there's any other tight end you want to mention. They got three more on scholarship and a walk-on to Coach O loves. All right, who's going to be throwing the ball to the tight end?
Yeah, huh? The $64 million question heading into camp. It's going to be interesting. you know, I think you're going to see both Moss Brennan and Max Johnson both get, you know, like split the reps pretty much down the middle, probably for your first week, maybe even your second week. You know, and I really think kind of going in that, you know, if Miles Brennan is truly 100% healthy, there's no issues with zipping the ball out. His movement skills are good. He's, you know, he's able to, you know, to add a little, you know, just a touch of versatility to LSU's run game to where they're not handing the ball off every time and the quarterback keeps it just every now and then I really think that, you know, that type of Miles Brennan could be tough to beat in the long run leading up to the UCLA game. But, you know, I really still feel that, you know, both of those quarterbacks, regardless of who takes that first snap against UCLA, I think you're going to see both of them, you know, a decent amount this year.
How much is the goal of Nussmeier not being the number two going to figure in with at least how they decide the number one in August? Because, I mean, the goal is to keep both. One of the goals, let me correct that, Sonny, in my opinion, one of the goals is to keep both Brennan and Johnson in the program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, let's say that, you know, the devil's advocate situation, I think everybody leans to is, okay, what if it's Max Johnson? What does Miles Brennan do? Well, you know, I don't think you're going to see a situation to where Miles Brennan just up and says, okay, you know what, I'm going to Southeastern. I'm going to Tulane. I can learn their offense in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like Justin McMillan did,
yeah.
Get on the field, be able to play right away. Because Miles Brennan has 2 years of eligibility left. So Miles Brennan, let's say it's not Miles Brennan, let's say he doesn't start, and let's say he doesn't play at all this year for some reason. Well, Miles Brennan, then next year, Miles Brennan can go to Ohio State, he can go to Oklahoma, he can go to Oklahoma, he can go wherever he wants and have that 1 year to really get out there and shine and then, you know, put himself on the NFL landscape. So I don't think you're going to see a rash decision or anything from either of the quarterbacks.
All right, two totally different, flip it around to defense and up front, two totally different bodies and guys and age and everything else. Allie Gay, B.J. Ojulari, tell me about their combined production this year for LSU, specifically the pass rush.
You know, Allie Gay, he only had 2 sacks last year. I think you're going to, if he can get that up to around 5, you know, maybe 6, you know, obviously you want to see more, but if he can do that, then all of a sudden you start talking about 9.5 tackles last year, 6 passes batted down, an interception. You know, that starts translating to, okay, this guy's one of the better defensive ends in the SEC, you know. But he's got to me, he's got to get a little bit better with being able to not just affect the quarterback, but actually bring the quarterback down and make those wow plays. Kind of like Ojulari, you know, and like you saw from him a lot at Marietta. But I think Ojulari is going to play a lot this year. I think third downs, I think there's no question he's going to be on the field. You know, but LSU, the good thing if you're LSU is, man, you got one of the deepest defensive line rooms that Ed Orgeron has had to work with in a long time, especially when you look at those guys inside at defensive tackle. That's going to help make life a lot easier for those defensive ends and getting to the quarterbacks.
Do you think some SEC fans of other programs are going to be asking, like, who's this freshman, Mike Jones? Where's he from? Because he's the guy that they probably have watched play at Clemson. And I think he's going to be viewed as this impact newcomer in the SEC because he knew the conference. That is a grown man ball player. That is a really good football player.
And when you look at his skill set of what he did at Clemson, this is the perfect type of player on the defense in the SEC. Excuse me. He can play the run. He can step up. He can fill some gaps. But he's really going to be better on third downs when it's third down and 8. You know they're about to throw the ball. Now all of a sudden you're dropping a guy like Mike Jones, who is really like a hybrid safety, kind of, you know, probably about the same 40-yard dash. And so now all of a sudden you're taking one of your linebackers and you're putting him back there in the secondary. And his cover skills might even be a little bit better than Jacoby Stevens that he showed at LSU because he always played a little bit heavy while he was in Baton Rouge. So I think Mike Jones is going to be an impact type of player. I think you'll see him make that same similar – type of impact that we saw Jabril Cox make in 2020.
Last thing I want to ask you about again, Sonny Shipp from 247. You know, I bet there are LSU fans who didn't have a lot of familiarity or maybe any with the new DC. What about the new linebackers coach? Because Blake Baker is a guy that, I mean, that name's kind of known to fans in the South. And Coach O has spoken about him specifically and his expectations for the linebacker group this coming year.
On the Baton Rouge front, yeah. You know, when Orgeron had to replace Dave Aranda, Blake Baker's name came up at that point. You know, he was down in Miami and stuff. He had coached up at Louisiana Tech with Manny Diaz. He, you know, married a girl from Mandeville, which is, you know, right outside New Orleans and stuff. So, you know, very familiar with him from that scope. And so when Orgeron hired him, you know, there was a lot of excitement. And, you know, now I think they're just ready to see, you know, they're ready to see him take a guy like Damon Clark, who really struggled last year, you know, a guy like Micah Baskerville, who was average, really be able to teach them to step up their game to where they're not the liabilities that they were last year. And so, you know, I think LSU's linebackers are going to be improved. I do think that that is still the one area of the defense to where you're, you know, you catch yourself spending a lot of time of trying to convince you how they can be good. So to me, that tells you that, okay, there's still going to be some struggles right there a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's always that position group where you realize you're trying to talk yourself into something, isn't there?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that there's got to be so much more name recognition with the assistant coach, the position group coach, Blake Baker, than there would be the defensive coordinator. And with a Southern fan base, I mean, you know, who's our new guy? I don't even know him at all. And then suddenly, if we don't know him, well, that means it must have been a bad hire, and that certainly is not the case. Sonny, appreciate your time, man. Thank you for coming on today.
Absolutely, Chuck. Man, y'all have a great day, buddy.
Yeah, you too, man. Sonny Shipp, get him on Twitter, at Sonny Shipp, two-piece, Sonny Shipp 247. And when we don't have that name recognition, we think that, for instance, the coach didn't have any name recognition with him as well, that the administration, the rest of the staff, who is this guy? In coaching, if you don't know the guy, you know somebody who's coached with him. It's the ultimate spider web. That you're an assistant or the coordinator or the head coach, man, and you're in the game 5 years, and suddenly you have either associates or it's one step away, I bet, on 40 different staffs. And it's why when you realize the head coach gets fired with 3 games left, and we hear, well, the coaching staff, they're setting up their next jobs. It's why you hear virtually every one of them has a new job by the time the new head coach gets hired. You fire Will Muschamp, you bring in Shane Beamer, and Shane sits down, and you usually keep at least one guy. And at least for a year, he's got to help you navigate the roster. Good guy, bad guy, who you want on the team, who's the troublemaker. I'm telling you, you always want to keep at least one guy. And then you can move him out. But when the new head coach announces who's going to be retained, you ever notice, like, the rest of the coaches – they all got a new job, boom, like that, because they all know each other, or they're just one step away, and you can say, oh, I know Jesse Minter. All right, by the way, that guy's, I think, is going to be a superstar, DC. And so you should hire, because I worked with him at Georgia State, or I worked with him at Florida. I worked with him at Middle Tennessee. And so Baker coming back is something that the fans knew. Durante Jones, probably not. But it's the same thing. Who were we talking? Oh, Marcus, it was South Carolina's Marcus Satterfield. And what was it? Clayton White was the DC. And it's like, well, one of them we kind of know. What about the other one? No, Shane Beamer knew him. And so maybe he wanted Mike Bobo first, but when you make that hire, it almost always is going to be personal experience on a staff with the guy, or my offensive line coach. Hey, look, if you're looking for an OC, the guy that I work with at Western Kentucky, you want to bring him down here, man. He is a future star. Well, how old is he? He's 29. Okay, bring him down here. Maybe nobody else knows about him. And so that's kind of what Ed Orgeron was having to go through. All right, we break. We wrap up next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
As there's realignment going on in the East, I actually think it strengthens our position at the Pac-12. We're the only Power 5 conference that has teams in the Mountain and Pacific time zone, basically own half of the country. I think we have to lean into that as opposed to using that as an excuse, the time zone issue. I actually love where we are today with 12 teams, but we're going to actively be looking at expansion.
New Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff. He's at Pac-12 Media Days, and he's talking about their strategy. When he says expansion is a possibility, what he is saying is surviving is the priority, and we can probably survive if we expand. Let me translate. When he says expansion is a possibility, what he was actually saying is keeping Oregon is the number one goal this week. I can keep translating if you want, because let's be honest, as bottom rung in their conference, as bottom rung ish, and as outside the norm, and as well, they're not really in the conference, so we don't have to really. Arizona and Arizona State, as much as they have always been the state over stepchild, Big 12 will have them in a heartbeat. And so, well, like the SEC, I bet you Kliavkoff has talked to whoever runs Oregon. And I don't know if it's man, woman. I don't know if it's trustees, regents. I don't know if they have a president or a chancellor. Maybe they're like Louisiana and they have parishes. They don't even have counties. I don't know. I don't care. I promise you. In fact, I get 11th commandment, folks. Kliavkoff has already had a discussion with whoever runs the Oregon program and has asked that person point blank, have you heard anything from Greg Sankey? Has he been sniffing around our conference too? I promise you. And he didn't ask that question to Arizona or Arizona State, but he's about to. Survival, sandbags. Think about it, recruiting. We're going to build a fence around, well, he's trying to build a fence around Pac-12. There's a door in that fence. He would like to let some teams in. And he has to if the Pac-12 is going to survive. Again, him talking SiriusXM at Pac-12 Media Days. Dan Matthews will be here in just a second, but I'm going to wrap it up with the closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Football programs all across the NCAA are about to make a huge change to how they operate on a daily basis. Coordinators talking, players talking. We are on the verge of having that happen. And I was mentioning some of this earlier. And the reason that I think it's going to become policy that we do hear from coaches, coordinators, players, either at all or more often, is because it's already happened. And it's because of the message you send as a program if you are, quote, controlling the message. Now, it used to be programs didn't care about how it looked. Well, he didn't let the coaches talk. He didn't, and freshmen couldn't talk in the SEC, maybe ahead of the bowl game. But it was kind of normal for a head coach to say, all right, ahead of the bowl game, I'll let the coordinators talk for 15 minutes. And the position coaches, maybe they get to talk at the conclusion of spring or at the start of spring. But it is a very regimented opportunity, and it comes and goes and is gone. The real motivation for all this is realizing that it's happening on the player's side in so many cases anyway, and it's just not a look you want. And so I think it's going to be awesome. For anybody who's covered a team, and Dan did this in Athens as well for a few years. For anybody who covered a team, literally every single day you were around either practice, a press conference, a game, signing day extravaganza. Every single time you were around that program, man or woman covering the team, every time there was there was one instance where you thought, man, if I could talk to the linebackers coach, or I got one question for the offensive line coach, or man, the receivers coach, I want to just one question if I could ask one of those, and you couldn't because it wasn't either the first day of spring or the last day of spring or fan day in August, and you had no access. Promise you, that is about to change, and it's going to be just like everything else. If you look back 10, 12, 15 years ago, who was scoring 45 a game? Oddball teams that couldn't play real college football. Fresno, Hawaii, Boise, etc. Now it's the Blue Bloods, Oklahoma, LSU, Bama. Same thing's going to happen. You're going to have Hawaii, San Jose State, Citadel, whomever say, yeah, you talk to all our players and coaches all you want. And then you have a program like South Carolina look around and go, I guess we should do it too. And then Clemson, and then pretty soon you're going to be sitting down with Todd Day and his coordinators and his position coaches every single Tuesday at the press conference, just like you do with the head coach. That is my closing argument on this Thursday. Dan, how are you?
You know, I believe that I have kind of been able to add to the rules on the side of the refrigerator. Like I said, you've got the huge Maytag in there. I've got the dorm room mini fridge,
right.
So I'm adding to mine right now. Politics. We have usually been told stay out of politics. Don't get involved until you need to. And college football coaches and ADs of the such usually decide, okay, I'm going to play that move right now because I need to, and I know that I also have the public opinion on my side. I'm going to win this and not be political. It's a win-win.
Low-hanging fruit, and it's a chance to grandstand without any blowback.
There you go. Yep. Well, this is the case right here. If you are Texas State Senator Brian Birdwell, it's the bad time. Brian Birdwell, you shouldn't know him because he's really somebody that in the state of Texas you would only know, but he is a state senator there, and his constituency is mostly the Waco area. This just in. Who's in Waco?
Baylor.
Well, he has put out
legislation. I was going to say Branch Davidians, but no.
Well, I mean, that's something that they would like to forget about. Yeah. They're more of now Chip and Joanna has really been the good, hey,
there you
come,
go.
Come to Waco, come see the silos, come do all that because we're better now. But in this case right here, he has put through legislation, SB 76, which requires approval from lawmakers before state universities can switch athletic conferences. Brian, long play here, buddy. I get it that you're probably trying to score some points because also, too, I did not realize that his area that he covers also goes into Tarrant County, which is Fort Worth. So Baylor and TCU, I get it. You got to remember, though, too, who is the big bad wolf in the room. No matter who you think you're representing, you're also representing people that wear burnt orange and white. And those people in burnt orange and white, if this say came to pass, because it's not going to matter, but if it did, who are going to say, hey, you kept my team from possibly being better. In that case, political suicide can be committed when you mess with college football.
Yeah, I don't think Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, Southern Methodist, Houston, you add all of them up, and it's not a fifth of what the weight Texas carries in that state or in the capital or wherever else. And so you're right. It looked like some low-hanging fruit, and you can grandstand for the, quote, little guy. Little guy ain't what it's about in Texas. About the Longhorns. All right, so wraps it up on a Thursday, folks. A little bit of a break, 22 hours. Come back tomorrow with more college football conversation on The Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves. And people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY. And there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required. And they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.